Yeah. Well, thanks, brother. I'll pay you off later. So I appreciate that. So yeah. But well, joy to be with you this morning, and I do praise the Lord for your offerings and prayers toward disaster relief. And I know we're heavily involved. We have our teams. You know, Virginia was impacted as well in Southwest Virginia, and so most of our laborers are in volunteers. And I want you to know, you know, you can just in your pajamas at home, go online and be trained, be a basic volunteer through disaster relief, and thank the Lord. We love Samaritan's Purse as well. Guys doing a good work there, and yeah, we do have our churches down in North Carolina as well, but we do need to be in prayer. And my coworker Sean Ames leads that team, but everything given is so much a blessing. The churches, and I know Damascus, Virginia, just devastated. And so I know we've got, and that's the beauty of it, we're working through the local churches to impact the communities. So anyway, but it's a joy to be with you today. 1 Thessalonians, let's look there this morning. I do have some proclaimers here today, and Pastor Chaz said, you guys will be voted in as our, in among many churches next month, and I would dare say that 2.5 days are the greatest days that you could ever spend with God's people would be an annual homecoming. It's down in Virginia Beach this year, and we got about that much business and that much revival. And it's a whole lot of celebrating what God is doing around the world as we're planting churches in Virginia and D.C. and Lower Maryland and such among about 42 nations, and just seeing God do some phenomenal work together. And I praise the Lord. And hey, if you'd like to turn aside and come to a prayer summit late this week after you have revival for several days, we got a good one coming up on Thursday. So anyway, a lot of good things going on, and the Lord is greatly blessing. And I got a few of these over there if you'd like to grab one this morning. But let's look together at 1 Thessalonians this morning. And you know, my heart for you, I believe God's heart for his churches is that we'd be churches worthy of his celebration. You know, when God sees us as individuals, you know, he loves us so much with an everlasting love. His heart for us, if you're here this morning, you do not know him. You know, I mean, singing that song a moment ago, I love that, brothers. Thank you for that. And yeah, I remember those days of being shackled by a heavy burden and neath the load of guilt and shame, and even as a preacher's son. You know, I tell people I grew up with a drug problem. My mother drugged me to church. She drugged me home from church. You know, I mean, I don't want to be a part of God's people. I didn't care to, you know, to share, because the life of Jesus was not alive in me as he was at that woman at the well. And just so he was through these dear ones in the town, in the place, amazing area and place of Thessaloniki. And today, though, as God's church and as God's people, you know, as you've come to know Jesus, you know, what are you known for? What are you known for? Individually and as a church. I pray we'd be known as a church worthy of celebration. I pray we'd be known as a people, as a church that just as these at Thessaloniki. And you know, I often, how many of you guys... Man, I don't know if you suffered through it, but you went through like homecoming back in high school. Is anybody like that? Yeah, you know. And you know, in homecoming, you know, they choose, you know, those candidates that could be the king or the queen or whatever. You know, some because, hey, they're just good looking or whatever. Maybe they got an outward appearance. But hey, many perhaps because they got character about them, right? They got really that person that is certainly attractive in the lives and what all of people. But you know, as I think of the church and I think of how God sees our hearts and how God knows our hearts, and he knows who we are, he knows whose we are. And then as God's church, though, how does he see us? You know, Paul wrote to many churches, did he not? I mean, he wrote to Church of Rome, he wrote to Church of Corinth. My, how Corinth, immorality, a lot of things kind of were about coming into the life of that church. You know, they were a very weak people, were they not? So was we, right? I mean, he wrote to, you know, church at Colossae. He wrote they too had much of, and they, and like at Ephesus, much of you know, the gods of this world about them. These churches, many of them, you know, at Philippi, they in disunity, you know, and how that they were known for varied things. And I wonder, when people look at Calverton Baptist Church, when they see this church, what are you known for? Well, I believe we need to be known for just what the church at Thessaloniki was known for. And as we look to this great passage of scriptures, you will look with me in verse 1, and we'll read these 10 verses of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I always love Paul's just gracious word to them, in that of grace to you and peace from God our Father. Man, the kindness, the goodness, the blessings of God be upon you. And he would say, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing. And verse 3 is a real key verse today. Your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election of God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. For your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. How awesome is that? Amen? For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Father, thank you for the power of your word. And God, in these moments together, may you, Holy Spirit of God, work and speak in power. And God, as Spirit of God, as you drew the hearts of these at Thessaloniki, you spoke, Spirit of God. It was not the word of Paul, Silas, and Timothy. It was your word. May it be clear to our hearts. God, may you draw us today. If there are those here today that are shackled by sin and the heavy burden of it, God, and certainly living a life that has no purpose, no peace, no plan toward heaven, I pray today they'd be drawn to saving faith. But God, as we each of us examine our hearts personally, and Lord, we as a church, what are we known for? God, may we be known as the church of Thessaloniki, that were so in love with Jesus. And God, a people that were saved by the grace of God. And Lord, ever seeking your heart. Use your word and power, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And as Paul and Silas and Timothy, all three of these brothers, they had been at work. God had used them with these people at Thessaloniki. And when you read back in Acts chapter 17 and chapter 18 of Acts, you read of how, and you know, this is the power. Often if we think, man, is there really power in the gospel? Amen, there is. Because literally these brothers spent 3 weeks, or even less than a month, with the lives of these dear ones in this great city. And my, the Spirit of God, through the power of the Word of God and the gospel, fell on the lives of these people, and they were drawn to Jesus. Amen. In this short time, the work God began to do, even as Paul, Silas, and Timothy were driven out of the city due to persecution. And as Paul remembered, as they remembered, as we read there in verse 3, of what God, of the hearts of these people, and they saw and they heard testimony. My, you know, if people were to hear a testimony of us, what would they hear of us? I pray they'd hear what they heard of this great church, because in deep concern and prompted, he was prompted there in chapter 18 of Acts when they were swept off to Corinth to write this letter to the church. And even some authors say it was written before the crucifixion. And as we think of this, and as he looked to this church, and they were alive and they were active in their faith. They were a people empowered of the Spirit of God. He could celebrate what God was doing. You know, homecoming is about a celebration of the church. But today I wonder what we celebrate. And man, as they look to them, we read there in verse 2 how he said, "Oh, we thank God for you." It's Paul, Silas, and Timothy, they were men of prayer. Are we a people of prayer? Man, do others thank God for how we're impacting their lives individually? And I walk my neighborhood and I pray for my neighbors. I've seen God do some work among some of them. But boy, there's so much more left to do. And I pray that they see Jesus in our family, but they hear Jesus from our family. And as these dear ones, these dear brothers, as they prayed, they said, "Oh, how we thank God for the work he has done in your life. How we thank God for the presence and the power of the Spirit of God that is so alive in you." You know, as you come this week, and, you know, I pray it just wouldn't be a few days of some meetings, but may God, yes, revive our hearts. May, you know, there's joy in the presence of the Lord. There's power in a people who are committed to the will and way of God. And as these dear ones, Paul said, we celebrate. And would you just say these three words with me? Salvation.
Salvation.
Service. Steadfastness.
Steadfastness.
We celebrate your salvation. Man, we celebrate that Jesus has touched you. He has made you whole, as we just sung today. And can that literally be said of you this morning? Man, the family, as your children. Man, people know you at home, do they not? And they knew me at home. They knew I was a hellion. And I praised God at 13, when age of 13, Jesus saved my soul. But as Paul looked at them, he said to them, and notice this in verse 3. He said, "We remember without ceasing your work of faith." You know, James, half-brother of Jesus, wrote the book of James. Man, the faith evidenced by works. James said, faith without works is what? It's dead. And see, the matter is a faith that cannot be seen is no faith at all. What does God see when he sees our faith? See, there's something lacking about a faith that's not seen. And these dear ones, man, their faith was so evident. It was evident because, as we'll see in this passage, you know, let me just pause to say this. I could have preached this whole other sermon, but Luke chapter 11, this is powerful. And often we don't see this perhaps in this passage. Remember when the 10 lepers came to Jesus? And those 10 guys came, and man, they, you know, they had faith. And here's the key thing. People say, "Well, yeah, I got faith in Jesus." Well, let me ask you, what kind of faith? Because we can have a faith in Jesus and not have saving faith. Because those 10 guys, they came. And you remember that? "Jesus! Master, would you heal us?" Jesus said, "Yeah, go show yourself to the priest. You're healed." They're like, "Wow, look what happened." And yeah, they went away. But what was it? But one who came back, and what did he do? He fell at the feet of Jesus. And he worships. And I love that when you read Luke chapter 17. And that verse 19 says, Jesus looked at him. And man, you ought to go to that underscore. He says, your faith has made you whole. And have you fell at the feet of Jesus to worship him as your Lord and Master? And there's a lot of people, you know, even as we pray, praise God, man. He wants to hear the hearts of his people in prayer. He wants to see us and understand that, man, we're about seeking his face. And you know, there's a lot of people, man, I want wellness and I believe God can heal me. But have they bowed their hearts in worship? And said, Jesus, you are my Lord. Is that a Romans 10, 9 and 10 faith? Is it that he is Lord of your hearts? And see, it was evident because he said to these people, he said in verse 4, you are loved by God. You're beloved brethren. Man, that's a powerful word because in that day, beloved by God was a term that only the Jews applied to supremely great men like Moses. And for Paul to say that to these weak, feeble Gentiles, that was awesome. Man, God's changed your heart. And then as he said to them, you've been elected, you've been chosen of God. It is obvious that you've walked through that door of saving faith and on the other side seen child of God. And as he looked at them, he said in verse 6, he said, through all your suffering, he said, you welcomed the word of God. You welcomed it in with joy. And has there been that day that you welcomed Jesus with joy? See, when you come to know Jesus, the joy of Jesus comes alive in your heart and life. And that's the salvation. Do your neighbors see the joy of Jesus all over you? And that's how the power of these dear ones. But notice of Paul. Paul had preached and these people profess faith, Acts 17. And he says to them, he saw it even them in verse 9. He said, you turn to God from idols. And to serve the living God and the true God. 1 Peter 2:9, you were called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Friend, amen. And to celebrate. See, we need revival when our hearts are cold and indifferent and we're no longer celebrating that I am a child of God. And I'm here to tell you today, if there's no celebration of that, are you? Do you know it? Man, I warmed a pew for years. I got all the awards. Everybody in the church thought, if there's anybody saved, he's that. But I knew in my heart, no, Jesus. Man, the idols of my heart were me, myself, and I. My will, my way. And among these people, man, polytheistic, they served many a god. They were people just like the pagan culture around them. But friend, Paul saw them just like that Samaritan woman. They met Jesus. And friend, their cup was filled. And their hearts were changed. And he saw them just as Jesus called us in Luke 9. He says, if anyone desire to come after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. Daily. And they left all of those things to say, Jesus, you are my king. And Paul and Silas and Timothy celebrated that of this church. Friend, if you've never gone to see the movie, The Forge. Maybe it's out of theaters now, I don't know, but my wife and I, so anybody saw that movie? It was absolutely amazing. Man, the young man in that movie, the Kendrick brothers, praise God for those brothers down at Sherwood and down there in Georgia. And good things come out of Georgia. But anyway, even though if you're a Vols fan. Anyway, whatever. But nonetheless, how the young man in the movie Elijah, I won't ruin the whole show for you. Man, when it was how God used the business owner and such to lead him to faith in Jesus. And how that the word from that man was, is now you gotta, now to follow Jesus, you gotta take up your cross. You gotta bear, you gotta now Jesus is supreme. He is king. And everything that he doesn't want of your heart and life, you need to lay it aside. And everything that's between you and him that is taking the preeminence, set aside. Man, he went on a social media post, started Xing out things. He threw away his Xbox. I mean, he had to cast some friends aside. He got rid of some things, but it was because he had fallen in love with Jesus. And Jesus was supreme. Friend, that church, we need to celebrate it together. How Jesus has changed our life. Share our stories together so we can prepare to go out there and share our stories. And Paul and Silas, Timothy, they celebrated that. But they celebrated through Jesus' work of salvation, the service in the life of these people. And friend, if you know Jesus, you will serve him. If you know him and you love him, you can't help but give your life and surrender. And he says that it was evidence because the labor motivated by their love. Motivated by their love. What fuels your service? Friend, if it's guilt, if it's for show, if it's for whatever, you'll get depressed, you'll just get downhearted, discouraged, and you'll be ready to quit. But friend, when our eyes are fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Man, the heart of love and joy and the readiness of the labor. He said here, you labored. The toil to the point of exhaustion is that word. You know, and through that, the love that was produced of the Spirit of God. See, when you come to know Jesus, when he is Lord of your heart, the love of Jesus comes alive. Amen. Man, you're just like, man, I want to serve him because I love him. He gives us gifts of spirit. But it's every day. God, how can I be not a reservoir but a river? Lord, flow through me. Use me. And it was obvious in the lives of these people, in regard to even this, the volunteers going out for disaster relief. I read a book not long ago by a young lady. Well, she's not one, probably a young lady, but her name is Diane Langberg. And she wrote this book, Suffering in the Heart of God. And she said, we the church, I fear, that we are often asleep. We're often sleeping in the garden rather than watching with our Savior. Because the suffering, and this is the key thing, and listen to this. Because the suffering is not ours, it does not touch our lives. See, we need to be looking about us. See, the world around us, that's the heart of the man or woman that does not know Jesus. But the heart of the man and woman that knows Jesus is even though it doesn't hurt my life, I want to go to the hurting. I want to help them. See, when the church gets out and begins, and see Jesus encountered that sweet woman there, that Samaritan woman. And man, most people at the church wouldn't even look at somebody like that. Multiple marriages, a life of heathenism, right? But how that these dear brothers, they saw of the church. This church followed their example. He said of them, he said, you saw us. You saw what manner and how we lived among you for your sake. Man, they offered themselves. They laid down their lives. Man, do people see us like that? That we expend ourselves just in generosity to them? To lay our lives down? Friend, that's saving faith. That's the proof. Never minimize the weight of your example. It's so great. It's so great and so big. And what are we leaving behind? What are we known for? We known as a serving people. And how often, it's like a mom, a little boy was going to pray for the dinner and they had guests to the house and sometimes our example can be not so great of a thing, right? And the little boy's like, and they were calling on him to pray. He's like, well, what do I need to pray? He said, well, they said, just pray what your mom prays. And so they all bowed their head and he put his hands together and he said, Lord, why in the world did you let all these people come over to our house?
People are following our example. They're looking to us. Man, will we be Jesus before them? Friend, that's the heart of revival, is to say, Lord, no longer I who live, but Christ who live in me. And Lord, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Man, to be that living sacrifice, to lay down our lives. Paul did not get discouraged or thwarted in his work for the Lord because he said, I'm compelled by the love of God. There in 2 Corinthians, he said, for the love of Christ compels us, since we have reached this conclusion that one died for all, and therefore all died, and we died for all, and he died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised. And to be an exemplary servant to the body of Christ, exemplary servant to the community, exemplary servant to the world about us. And you know, this wording there in verse 7, he says that you became examples. Anybody ever been to the U.S. Mint? Okay, well, there is a U.S. Mint. And you know, at that place, there is on the coins and on the dollar bills, there's an indelible stamp that is placed upon that. And you can't get it out. And you know, just like that, that's the wording there of the indelibility of that, of what their example was upon the lives. Oh, so many people that they loved in the name of Jesus. And as they were motivated of the love of God, they shared the love of Jesus. Then there was that of, they could say as Paul did, follow me as I follow Christ. See, God didn't save us merely so we could go to heaven when we die, but so that we could join him in his work on earth to give glory to God. I love my friend Richard Blackaby. And man, I tell you, may we experience God. May we experience the work of God. And as they were examples, not only in their service, but in their sharing of Christ. Notice what he said of them. He says, for the word of the Lord, and I like the wording, it rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place that your faith has gone out. We do not need to say anything. Therefore, because of that, man, you guys are taking care. It is no doubt that, man, you just think with me on the map, okay? I don't know if y'all are, you know, geographical people or whatever. My wife, I'm in trouble when I talk about geography. She used to teach it. But anyway, but nonetheless, I got this down, I think, right? So you got Thessaloniki right here at the Aegean Sea. And it's a beautiful place. And it is a coastal place. And boy, all those people that would come in off the Aegean Sea, man, the Church of Thessaloniki, they're right there. Man, they're ready to greet them. They're ready to minister God's grace into their lives. But then from there, Macedonia was the region about them from the coast. And then they were ministering and reaching those people. And then even along there was the Aegean Highway. And man, right on this highway, those people, they knew that church. They knew them by their witness for Jesus. When people drive by here, do they know you for your witness of Jesus? And are they impacted by your witness? But then, even in Achaia, which is to the south of them, friend, they didn't have text, they didn't have Facebook, they didn't have nothing but the feet and the heart and the willing spirit and the powering of the Holy Spirit to go get them for Jesus' sake. What are we doing? How are we impacting? Man, are we ready in that simple conversation as Jesus at that well to engage? Are we known? Here's a couple of questions. What do we ask of ourselves? Friend, I'm not here to beat you up. I'm here to lift you up. Are we known for our silence about our faith? Or are we known for sounding forth the word of truth about our faith. Who's your one? My one's Scott's. He's moved away right now, but we're staying in touch. I'm thankful for the work God's done in others in that neighborhood. But let's go get them. Who are we? Man, the sin of silence is deadly. And friend, if you ain't got nothing to share of the love of Jesus, then today's the day of salvation. Because when you fall in love with Jesus, it'll get all over you. And you'll go and you'll be ready to say, hey, I'm not going to be known for my silence. I'm going to speak up to share the love of Jesus. Man, to let them know whom I'm for. Man, who I'm voting for. I'm voting for Jesus. I'm voting for eternal life, for the gospel. I mean, like that shared, like that Samaritan woman, their cup will be filled. They will come to overflowing. Because when you overflow into them, it can't help but of the power of the Holy Spirit to be at work in them to overflow as well to others. And my, would we but then be steadfast? Paul said of these dear ones, notice this as we close out this morning. He says, and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father. There in verse 3. The patience of hope, your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, the condition of a staying under pressure. And friend, that hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised based on the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a confident expectation. Man, it's like, it's going to happen. It's going to happen that Jesus is coming. It's going to happen because He has promised. He said, it is finished, and it is finished. It is absolute. And Paul saw these people. 2 Thessalonians 1:4, he says, therefore, among God's church, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecution and trials you're enduring. Friend, if persecutions and trials divert us, God help us. Man, I was with my mom this week. I love my mother, one of the greatest women of God I know. She gets saved when she was 8 years old. She'll be 81 in December. Can't wait to go celebrate with her. She's in Memphis, Tennessee. She got to spend the week with us. And I'm so thankful. It's so obvious the work of the Spirit of God in her steadfastness of walking with Jesus. And how, even through my dad's passing near 2 years ago now, the way God has grown her heart nearer to Jesus. And man, how He's worked that good work in her life to bring healing to her soul. And man, I'm so thankful for that. And friend, how though often we want to quit. Man, my dear friend, our dear friend and brother, Dr. Jerry Falwell, that went to be with Jesus years ago, he often said of us, he said, you know the character of a man and woman by what it takes to make them quit. And the Christian life is not a sprint, but it's a marathon. And friend, today, if you just say, well, you know, what is this all about? Well, it's all about the gospel. It's all about the love of Jesus. It's all about a world, as you said a moment ago, lost in darkness. A people in desperate need of hope in Jesus. Eternal hope that will ever endure. That is only that will persevere. And man, they're in persevering anticipation, hoping in that, knowing that Jesus is going to come. The future glory of the coming of the Lord Jesus. Because in verse 10, they waited for the Savior. Man, they were waiting. They were anticipating. Even then, it's hundreds of years ago. Over 2,000 years ago. And yet, their hearts were steadfast. They were hungry for Him. They were longing. They were thirsty, ever thirsting for Him. Oh, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godliness and worldly lust and to live in a sensible and righteous and godly way in the present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great and God Savior, Jesus Christ, He gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and cleanse us for himself, a people for his own possession, eager to do good works. Titus 2, 11 through 13. That's who we need to be. That's the church worthy of celebration. That men, not because all the world is dying and going to hell and it's in a handbasket and let's just all get in the mire and sulk. No! We have eternal hope in Jesus. And man, we need to lift up our eyes. And we need to be excited today because the darker the darkness, the brighter the light. And still the greatness of the glory of God and the gospel of Jesus, it is the power unto God, unto salvation. Right. And today, to seize the moment, to be a witness for Jesus' sake. And to be like these people. The preachers weren't even there. And he said, we didn't need to say anything because you got this. And that's the church that's worthy of celebration. That's the church. Is there in verse 10. As they were waiting. Waiting, man. Read that with me. Lord God help us. I know we're over time. But you know what? I saw a ball game last night. Went over time. And it was all good. To wait for his son from heaven. Whom he raised from the dead. We serve a risen Savior.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Not just sing about it. Not just go, wow, that really happened. Man, that's life changing. Does he change your heart today? Is he risen in you today? And friend, if he is today, he is our deliverer from the wrath to come. And today, would that bring such a celebration? And you know, it ought to be. Man, I share this. But today, friend, if you're going to be a part of that wrath to come, man, today's the day of salvation. If you don't know that you know Jesus, Jesus said, these things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I mean, if you don't know it today, man, is that 13-year-old boy often, man, God was speaking into my life and I was like, wow, Jesus, you might come today. And I'm telling you, yes, the fear of God sprang up in my heart. But I knew I personally needed a Lord. And you know, just like as we were traveling, I'll never forget this. Our church used to travel out west a whole lot. We'd be on these big travel buses. All you music folks travel a lot of big buses. And you know, we'd travel on those big buses. But I remember, we'd been gone a long time on a mission trip to Mexico. And I remember that one trip, we were coming back. And we were traveling at Interstate 40 all the way through lowly Arkansas. Oh, Lord, help that state. But nonetheless, we were traveling through Arkansas. But man, I was looking ahead going, where are the lights of Memphis, the city, to come home to? And I'll never forget. I still remember this day seeing that the lights on that Memphis, Arkansas bridge and the skyline of the city. And my heart sprang up to rejoice. Because I'm like, we're almost home. And I could not wait because of the blessing of home. Friend, if you know Jesus today, if you celebrate salvation, man, you're serving him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You got God, what are the gifts of the Spirit that you would just take hold of my life? God, I'm just going to serve you the most simple way. I'm just going to go across the street to my neighbor and make a cake for him. I'm just going to do whatever you say. I'm ready. You know, we need to be fat people. That was a curse word around my house growing up. But we need to be faithful. We need to be available. And we need to be teachable. And man, when God does that in our hearts, friend, we'll be looking for Jesus to come and celebrating even until the day of his glorious appearing. Are you ready for him today? Do you know that you know him? Friend, if you don't know him today, today's the day of salvation. Today is the day that he'll give you eternal hope. He'll give you life that is worth living. And man, today you'll be excited about loving him, serving him, and seeking him until the day he comes. Jesus, we love you so much. And Lord, I thank you for the attentive hearts in this room. And God, we look forward to the glorious homecoming. Lord, today, the food we eat, the things that we will have and so forth, God, it's all going to fade away. God, it's just here for a moment. God, we look today to our eternal hope. And Father, I pray that those in this room, Lord, nothing will distract them in this moment of looking at you and Lord, personally today, saying of their heart, am I known as a child of God? Do I know Jesus? Has there been that point in time in my heart that I have bent my knee as that leper did, that former leper, and worshiped King Jesus and said yes to Jesus? Said yes, Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord of my heart. God, I leave everything that is not of you and I turn to you. Take over me. I repent. I turn from my sin and I turn to you in full faith, embracing you, Jesus, as the King of my heart. Friend, today is that moment. Right now, Spirit of God is saying to your heart, come to Jesus. Turn your heart to Jesus. And friend, right now in your heart before Him, He has died for your sin. He was buried. And 3 days later, He rose victorious. And He did it because He loved us and because He desired for none to perish, but all to come to repentance. And today is the day of salvation. Would you say this moment, Jesus, be the King of my heart. Come into me and save me. I turn from my sin. I turn to you, Jesus. Be the Lord of my heart. Friend, if you make that decision of your heart, even right there this morning, there's nobody that will celebrate with you more than the people sitting in this room. And so right now this morning, if you've made the decision in your heart of that, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, if you made that decision today, is there anybody that would just say, hey, Daryl, just between you and me, I made that decision. Pray for me this morning. Is anybody like that here this morning? Just raise your hand. Anybody like that? Well, hey, you know what? A raised hand is not going to save you. But one thing's for sure, a heart that falls in love with Jesus is all about it. And so this morning, if you don't, and you say, hey, I can't make that, I don't know. Man, don't let anything hold you back, friend. Open your heart and say yes to Jesus. And friends, you said yes to Jesus. Is it evident with the people all about you? And man, maybe this morning you need to say, Lord, use me to serve you in a fresh and new way. God, make me that faithful, available, and teachable person that's just ready to say, here I am, use me. And God, maybe I've been ready to quit. Lord, draw me back to steadfastness. Draw me back to, Lord, a renewed love for you, a passion that seeks after you, seeks after your presence, seeks after your word. Man, the revival can begin right here this moment and this day. I pray you'll do that before Jesus today. Jesus, we love you so much. God, I pray we love you desperately even more. And God, I just pray that you would just draw every heart in this place, God, to just a renewed passion. Lord, may this church be worthy of celebration, not just from past days, but Lord, for this day and the days to come.
Yes.
Lord, that others may know that they're in love with Jesus.
Yes.
That they are the lighthouse that is leading people to faith in Christ. Oh God, please use us today. Please let nothing hinder our way of just absolutely being all in for Jesus. Oh, how we love you and we bless you. And I'll turn it to Pastor Chaz this morning.